Welcome to today's episode of the Mycotoxin and Chronic Illness Summit. I'm so happy today to have Beth O'Hara with us. She's a functional naturopath specializing in complex chronic cases of mast cell activation syndrome, histamine intolerance, and mold toxicity. She's the founder and owner of Mast Cell 360, a functional naturopathy practice designed to look at all factors surrounding health conditions, genetic, epigenetic, biochemical, physiologic, environmental, and emotional. She designed Mast Cell 360 to be the kind of practice she wished had existed when she was severely ill with mast cell activation syndrome, histamine intolerance, mold toxicity, neural inflammation, Lyme, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue. Her mission today is to be a guiding light for others with mast cell activation syndrome, histamine intolerance, and these related conditions in their healing journeys. Thank you, Beth.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I know this whole summit's a game changer for people. And I think some of the things we're going to get into will start to shift how people are healing and help them heal faster and hopefully with less money than what it took me to get well and probably many people you know as well.
Yes. Well, I'm so happy to have you here. So start by telling us about what you've experienced. I'd love to hear and have you share about your journey with all of this.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of what I do now, where it stems from. When I was 7, we moved to the country, which was fun in a lot of ways. But we moved to this old farmhouse and did not know it was full of toxic mold. I didn't actually know that until I was in my later 20s. But I started having these health issues creep up early on. So by the time I was 12, I was having hypoglycemia and having things like my vision start to black out. And I had these severe allergies. I would have hives all over. And when you grow up in the country, you're always picking and canning green beans. And one of my jobs was also to feed the chickens. I'd have to feed them corn, dried corn. Mm-hmm. And then I'd just be covered in these hives and I would scratch my skin at night until I bled and, you know, scratching my eyes and always this itchy allergy kind of symptoms. And then around age 12, like I started getting asthma. I was tired. I was always more tired than other kids. And I had a car accident. I was 16. I just couldn't bounce back and get out of bed. But it was still moving along. And it was my just absolute passion to go to medical school. So I decided this by the time I was 6. And just to illustrate how serious I was, when I was 16, all I wanted was Grey's Anatomy. I was like, if I got a copy of Grey's Anatomy, I was good. I didn't need a car. And I was, you know, finding bleached skeletons in the woods and reassembling them. And just so you can get a sense of how important that was to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was pushing way too hard in college. I was working 3 jobs and I was taking graduate level courses as an undergrad. And I was working with a PhD student on research. And the summer of my junior year, I just totally crashed out. And I was so severely fatigued that I knew if I made it through the 4 years of medical school, I would never make it through residency. So one of the most devastating things in my life was turning down. I had a full scholarship and I had to turn it down and figure out what in the world else was I going to do. And instead of going to medical school, I had to become a chronically ill patient, going the circuit, you know, from doctor to doctor to doctor. I completely exhausted what Western medicine had to offer. And it was actually making me worse. Every medication made me worse. I remember there was I had such severe anxiety and depression at this point, and I had tried different kinds of antidepressants, and someone had me try Depakote. I had a 1/6 of a tablet, and my body temperature dropped to 94. My organs felt like they'd slowed down. I didn't have a bowel movement for a week. So that was like a 1/6 of a tablet, right? So I'm starting to get these weird reactions that nobody understood. And then I discovered holistic medicine. I tried everybody could get my hands on. That wasn't working. I did homeopathy. Functional medicine was growing, and I found the most skilled and experienced person in my area, because this was all before telehealth. You know, you can get in contact with all these experts and professionals around the world, but back then it had to be in driving distance or you had to be able to fly. And I was too sick to travel very much. And so the most experienced person in my area, I tried everything he recommended for 3 years. And it was down to where it'd be like a quarter of quercetin. I mean, a sprinkle of quercetin was giving me worse anxiety and I couldn't sleep that night. And curcumin was making me more inflamed. So everything was paradoxical. And by the time I was 28, I had to use a cane to just barely hobble across the room. I remember holding my bladder because it was so excruciating to be able to get up to go to the bathroom. And my friends were out dancing and I was wearing orthopedic shoes and just this horrific pain that kept me from sleeping and my sleep was terrible. So about 3 years into working as functional medicine practitioner, which I think was about practitioner 50, number 50 who had tried, he said, you know what, Beth, we've done everything I know what to do. We've reached the end of where I know to go with you. And I really appreciate his honesty, but I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is practitioner number 50. And if he doesn't know what to do, and I had spent $150,000 at that point, who's going to know this? And I cried the whole drive home. And it was exhausting just to get there and get back. And I got home and I thought, you know, I can either throw in the towel and be done with my life at this point, or I can figure this out. And I at least had that pre-med background. So I started reading, studying everything I could get my hands on. We knew I had Lyme, but I couldn't tolerate any treatments. We knew I had Bartonella barbigia. I knew I had histamine intolerance. But I finally found about mast cell activation syndrome. And this was like 8, 9 years ago. So it was still kind of this theoretical thing. It wasn't an official diagnosis yet. And a lot of people didn't know about it. But I was like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. And then I thought, well, that's the answer. And I started addressing it, but I still couldn't tolerate taking much. Mm-hmm. I started with tiny sprinkles in water and then like a sip of water. And then I wouldn't drink the rest of the water. But over a couple years, I got some things on board. I got a little better, but I still was really struggling. And then realized, well, wait a minute, why are these mast cells stirred up? Why am I so inflamed? What is happening here? It's not just that it's mast cell activation syndrome. There's something triggering that. And I realized there was something beyond the Lyme as well. And that's when I figured out the mold toxicity. And when I realized I had the mold toxicity, everything made sense because I didn't know that toxic mold could, from years ago, could make you sick and could stay in your body and colonize and then just continue to produce toxins. Plus, I was renting an office space in a historic building that was built after the Civil War. And so I was on the lower level. Well, when I went to move out of there, the plaster just crumbled when I took stuff off the walls from it just being wet. And figuring that mold toxicity piece and starting to address that in ways of working with my nervous system, calming those mast cells, and then detoxing, that was the game changer. It's like I got my brain back, my anxiety, this anxiety I'd had for 20 years, it was horrific, it was gone. I almost never have anxiety anymore. I got my joints back. I just did a mile hike, an hour long hike, actually. I don't know how long it was, but a couple of days ago when I could barely walk across the room. So for me, just every day feels like a gift and a blessing. And I got my brain back to go back to graduate school and I finished two graduate degrees and I built this practice and stuff that I just never thought was going to be possible. I thought my life was going to be on the couch and that was the best I could do. And I feel so grateful now.
Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, you sound exactly like most of my patients and your patients as well. And having people hear your story, I think, gives them a lot of hope. There is hope. And when people first walk into my office, they don't believe that they can heal. They have seen 50 other doctors before coming to our clinic. And we're looking under the hood. We're looking at things that medical school we're not taught to look at, whether it's allopathic medical school or through functional medicine or even naturopathic school. We're taught how to be primary care physicians, excellent primary care physicians, but looking at chronic illness is absolutely a different theory, a different lens, and a different application of medicine. And so you sound like somebody who's been through everything. It sounds like you had mold, tick-borne illness, and then secondary to all of that, mast cell activation syndrome, and maybe even other environmental toxicants. I'd love to hear about your journey back to health. Can you share with us?
Yeah, I'd love to. And there's so many layers. I mean, I've had severe chronic SIBO. I've had Epstein-Barr. I've had HSV viruses attacking my nervous system. I mean, it's just so many things that people go round and round and round about I dealt with. I started, like I said, well, there were a couple things. One of the things that was a big shift and probably one of the reasons that I'm still here was when I was in college, I discovered yoga. And I know yoga now, like there's a yoga studio on every corner and you can go to the YMCA, but this was more than 20 years ago. And when I was in college, I had to have 2 PE credits. And most of the stuff was, you know, you could take volleyball, or you could take basketball, or you could do swimming. And I couldn't do any of that stuff. I was having trouble walking 2 or 3 blocks. So that was not going to happen. And I have EDS. I don't have coordination. And then I had a head injury when I was a child and I have a little cerebellum damage. So I don't have good coordination. So I couldn't play billiards. Like that was off the table. And the one thing I thought I could do was yoga. And I was so fortunate that the teacher was like a very genuine Iyengar yoga teacher. And so this was a classic medical therapeutic style of yoga.
I love to hear that because there's a lot of McDonald's yoga out there and it's hard to find what is authentic anymore in the world.
Yeah.
Back then we could, but...
Less. Yeah. And so that was a game changer for me because I was in so much intense pain and I had pain from these injuries, this head injury and the car accident and things that hadn't been addressed. And so my main strategy was to get out of my body. Uh-huh. However.
Right.
And so yoga made me start to become into my body and be present and be aware. And I was so used to school coming easy. And I'd never had anything that was really challenging. And that was the hardest thing I had ever done in my life, was to be in my body for an hour and a half. And so, it wasn't what I thought. I thought it was going to be chanting om and then taking a nap. But it started to get me to move and it started to shift things. And it made me more aware and more attentive to what was happening in my body. Was very uncomfortable and unpleasant, but it was a massive tool for me later in life in terms of healing and being able to track what was happening and watch what was happening and know, is this good for me? Is this not good for me? So there was no map or no formula for getting well. And I ended up getting trained in that style and becoming a medical yoga therapist. So that was one of the things I did when I couldn't go to medical school. Uh-huh. I was a unusual one because a lot of times I had to teach from a chair because I was too ill to demonstrate, but that's what I did for a while. And I started, like I said, with these little sips of sprinkles is what I call it. Put a little sprinkle of something in water, stir it, take a sip, and that's enough. Mm-hmm. The other piece for me was that intense nervous system work. But again, this was before we had DNRS and Gupta program and BrainTap and all these amazing, really targeted systems now that work so much more effectively. So it was a lot of experimentation and seeing, does this breathing practice calm my nervous system or does it excite my nervous system? and honing in and then finding, well, that changes week to week and month to month. But experimenting there and really dialing that down, I also did a huge amount of emotional healing. Mm-hmm. And there's a big trauma that comes with being this ill, as I know you know very well. And it's so hard. And then also, I wish this was unique, but it's very common. So many practitioners, when they didn't know what to do with me or they my case scared them, told me that I was crazy. Or they told me that I wanted to be sick. That was the worst. I could take being told I was crazy because, you know, sometimes I wondered with the anxiety. But being told that I wanted to be sick when I was working so hard was one of the most horrible things to hear. And I did a lot of emotional healing work with a system, particularly a system called the Enneagram. And it's about watching our patterns and knowing our motivations. And those two pieces really kept me going in the darkest days of knowing that, okay, well, my pattern is to not ask for help and to think that my needs aren't important and not take care of myself. And so I had to really overcome that aspect of it while I'm doing these sips of sprinkles. So it took me about 2 years to build up to a quarter capsule of anything. And at that time, I didn't know that what I was working on adding in were mast cell stabilizers, but I was trying to get quercetin on board. I was trying to do things like Boswellia. Uh-huh. And so I started there and I started with all this nutrient tinkering. And then I got into genetics and did a lot of genetic tinkering, which did get me some inroads. And I had a lot of variants on glutamate and a lot of variants in some of these other pathways mm-hmm. that we were looking at the time, methylation pathways and so on. And so I could get little bits of things that would calm the glutamate and that would help the anxiety.
Right.
But I didn't know at the time, I didn't understand how much mold toxins, I didn't even know about them yet. And it increased those glutamate pathways and changed that genetic expression and how Lyme changes that genetic expression. But that was kind of that crawl out. Then, I mean, I figured out oxalate issues, that I had massive oxalate issues and that was affecting my joints. So I shifted my foods. I was eating tons of sweet potatoes and spinach and beets, all those super high oxalate foods.
Yeah. So
that got me off the cane. And it was like stepping stone by stepping stone, because I didn't have this paradigm or this foundation that we understand today. I was shooting in the dark and finding one little piece, one little piece, one little piece.
Were you doing this on your own?
I was mostly doing it on my own. Occasionally I'd find a practitioner who would have a pearl and I could incorporate the pearl, but I hadn't found anyone who really got my case. And I didn't until I met Neil Nathan, who's my mentor now. But then he put the last of pieces together. It was like, woo, we were off to the races at that point.
Beth, how many years ago was this?
Well, this journey, I mean, I really started at 19 on my own, figuring out what was going on and going from doctor to doctor on my own. But even as a child, I was on lots of antihistamines and mast cell medications. Uh-huh. And they helped me, but then I think they made it worse long-term because that's all I had. So it wiped out my defenses. And I would say, you know, I really probably started turning the corner about 4 or 5 years ago.
So and this recent, your healing.
It's kind of recent. It wasn't like a sudden. I mean, I went back to graduate school. I got a master's in marriage and family therapy. And then I went back and finished in naturopathy. So I got some energy and brain power back to start to do those things. But to be alive and vibrant, I would say, has been, you know, more recent.
Good for you.
Thank you. And again, every day I'm so grateful.
Oh, this is quite a journey you've been through. And more there are people who share your story. And I'm so grateful you're out here talking about your story, because people they feel isolated. They're told they're crazy, or they've been told that they want to be sick. And none of these things are true. And to have you, who's been through it, and now you're here, you've turned it into something. You've turned it into a gift to share back with the world. So it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing you've done with what you've experienced. And I know there are a lot of my patients out there who, you know, who know they will do something as well to make beauty out of what they've experienced.
And that's our mission here is
yes.
at MassHealth 360. I mean, it's written right into our mission that we're not just here to help people recover their health. We're here to help people recover their lives and their dreams.
Yes.
I know what you all do at Gordon Medical as well. And that's one of the very optimistic things is, you know, I tell my journey, it's like, oh my gosh, who wants to go through all that? But we don't have to anymore because this is, I think we're in this renaissance of understanding mold toxicity. And there are a lot of practitioners who are really skilled in this area and you can get help. And so people don't have to navigate this on their own. They don't have to figure it out on their own and they don't have to take 20 years. And at one point I had totaled up, eventually I'd seen over 75 practitioners. And I think I've spent over $300,000 figuring this out. I mean, that's all my resources went to it to get well, because if I didn't have my health, I mean, I couldn't work. What was the point?
Right.
And now we don't have to do that. People can get well. A lot of times I see people who are really ill and they're done in 2 to 4 years. If it's really complex, it's maybe 5 years, which still sounds like a long time, but it's so much shorter than 20.
Yes.
And
you're in here.
They're spending fractions of what we had to spend when we had no idea what was going on.
Absolutely. So we both work a lot with patients who have mast cell activation syndrome. I'll have you tell our viewers a little bit more about what that is and how to handle it.
Yeah, so one of the really fascinating things about these mast cells is that they're these frontline defending and sensing cells of our bodies. And they're in all of the tissues that meet the outside. So our skin and our nose and our sinuses and our eyes, all that tissue and the whole GI tract from the mouth down the esophagus and in all the way through the intestines, and they're in the lungs and they're in the muscles and the bones. They're in almost every tissue in the body other than, I believe it's the cornea. There might be a couple others, but they're pretty much everywhere. And one of the other things fascinating is they're at every nerve ending. So there's this constant communication between these mast cells and our nerves and our nervous system, because the nerves are sensing. And that's how this detecting viruses and bacteria and toxins, and also looking for injury where repair needs to happen, all these things. So they have these huge amount of functions in the body that we don't even have time to get into all of them. Like, are they involved in pregnancy and are they involved in sleep wake cycles? And then the way they do that is they have hundreds of receptors on the outside that detect all these different things. So we're still learning things about them, which I love too.
Right.
New mediators and new receptors and how these receptors work. And they were first discovered in the 1800s, the later 1800s. So I love it when there's something you can always keep digging into layers on and learning about. And then they have these hundreds of different mediators inside them they can release depending on what's going on and communicate and orchestrate some of the immune response. They're big, one of the big orchestrators of how our immune system works. So they're so important. And I want to highlight the benefits of them because they tend to get a bad rap.
Right.
Like, oh, you should just shut those mast cells down. Well, the problem is if they're like the guards of the castle gate, you don't want to wipe your guards of your castle gate out because then you don't have anybody defending. And
right.
I think that's part of why I got so sick. And that's all people knew to do with me when I was had those horrible hives and itching my skin off, and was to give me mast cell stabilizers and antihistamine. So it made sense. But then I didn't have any defense system against the mold colonization. I didn't have defense system against the Lyme, the Bartonella babesia, the Epstein-Barr, all these other things. So this big chronic toxin or pathogen load buildup and,
right.
and toxin load.
Yep. Yep.
But then what happens, the metaphor I really like is if you have these guards of the castle gate, they should be able to be on duty and take a break and be on duty and take a break. Except we live in this massively toxic world now, and we're completely bombarded by different toxins. We have stress levels we've never had in human history, responsibilities we've never had, access to media we've never had, and seeing all kinds of terrible things, and also sensationalism is stressful. And we've got EMF levels we've never had in human history. And mast cells, there's clear data in the research literature that mast cells degranulate in the presence of EMFs. Yeah. So they release all those inflammatory mediators. So it's like they have to be on duty 24/7. And we know that if we don't get to rest and we're on duty for, you know, 7 days, 10 days, 28 days in a row, you're going to get pretty wonky, can't think straight. And so on a biochemical level, the mast cells start to lose the ability to discern, oh, that is something that we need to keep out, that's an enemy. And, oh, that's a grain of rice or some broccoli or a carrot, it should be fine. So it's like they start shooting at the butterflies when they can't tell the difference anymore between friend and foe. And then they get hyper responsive. So I like to think of them like they've got PTSD. So they're kind of trigger happy and hyper vigilant. And it's part of that immune system, nervous system, that psychoneuroimmunological axis going on there.
Right. I think of it as our patients have a combination of on one hand, a hyperactive immune system with mast cell activation syndrome and autoimmune conditions. On the other hand, their immune system isn't strong enough to mount an immune response, an appropriate immune response to deal with the infections that they have. And so finding ways to modulate the immune response where it's not hyperactive and but also not so weak that it cannot kill off an infection appropriately. What you say about toxins, I think, is so important, because we've had these bugs. When I say bugs, I'm thinking of molds and parasites, bacteria, viruses. We've had them around us since humankind has begun. And we've been able to live side by side with them until recently. So I'd say in the past 20 years, we've been seeing people more and more who've experienced what you experienced. And I think it has everything to do with the environmental toxicant load, because that's something that our genes, well, it takes 25,000 years or more for our genes to change, but they're expressing epigenetically now in a way that they weren't before, I think, due to the environmental toxins and a new kind of stress that everyday people are having.
Exactly. And you think about around 2004, 2009, that period was when we started bringing Wi-Fi routers in our homes, right, and have laptops. And so all these things interact and they make the mold more virulent. It's more, they're producing more toxins, they're producing stronger toxins. And that's all having a load, especially we're talking about this immune balance where that TH1 virus and bacterial killing side gets really dampened. And I have a slide I use in the mold course that I teach for sensitive people on how we have the seesaw kind of thing that should be balanced with this pathogen killing TH1 side. And then that TH2 that includes the mast cell side should be kind of in balance, but then mold is like this huge weight that just boom, it exactly takes the TH1 side out, and then we're left with this elevated mast cell activation, chronic inflammation. So we're inflamed and we can't kill anything off.
Exactly.
And yeah, mold just, and it disrupts so many systems in the body.
Yeah, it sure does. Will you tell us about the research that you did with Dr. Nathan and some other doctors as well around binders? It's very interesting.
I would love to. And so this research was done with Dr. Neil Nathan, Emily Gibbler, who's a colleague of mine at Tree of Life Health, and Dr. Joe Mather. And how this kind of came about is that Emily and I are on the board with Bob Miller for the Nutrigenetic Research Institute. So we were preparing for a conference on mold toxicity and genetics. And she and I took different pathways and mapped out the phase 2 liver detox pathways and mapped out which mold toxins were detoxed by these different pathways. Mm-hmm. And so this is where it started. This was such a game changer because I was using glutathione. And I know a lot of people are using glutathione for mold detox. And what we found was aflatoxin B1 and okra toxin use glutathione. We couldn't find any data on glutathione and any of the other mold toxins being conjugated with glutathione. But the biggest pathway was glucuronidation, which I volunteered to cover glucuronidation thinking this won't take much because in my textbooks, we had 2 pages covering it. That was it. So it should be a pretty simple pathway. It took me 6 months.
Wow.
To get through the research data just on it and the mold toxins and wrap my head around the depth of this pathway that we're not talking about enough. And how glucuronidation path is the most important of the phase 2 pathways. And it breaks down up to 70% of all chemicals and medications. It breaks down our hormones, our fat soluble vitamins like A, K, E, D, things like CBD. And a lot of people get salicylate intolerance right. when they have mold toxicity. Well, glucuronidation is one of the pathways. So you think about it being the major pathway for mold toxins, and it's a complex pathway. Well, you load that down, you use up all the enzymes for those mold toxins. There's not anything left for salicylates. So that's part of that. And then sulfation's involved, and that's part of salicylates. So that's kind of how it started. Neil Nathan was at that conference, and he came up to us after and he's like, look, we got to get this consolidated. We got to get this out there. So he got us organized and going. And then I got to meet Joe Mather, and Joe Mather did a bulk of research on binders, and I got to tag on to that a little bit. And what we found with the binders and I want to really give credit to Dr. Mather. What we found with the binders is that, you know, a lot of us were using like charcoal, cholestyramine for binding mold toxins, and those will bind some, but cholestyramine really works for okra toxin. I haven't had great success with it with sensitive people either. It's pretty intense for people usually. But we're missing so many other mold toxins that they're not touching. So gliotoxin doesn't have an affinity for cholestyramine, at least that we found any data for. So this is where we're starting to do this precision detox approach, where now we have a matrix and we're continually updating it as new research comes in. But we can look at, okay, we've got okra toxin. So these are the preferred binders that have the best affinity, or we've got the aflatoxin or the gliotoxin. So let's bring these in, or this person is now excreting more gliotoxin. So we want to bump these up a little bit. And we're finding people are actually having an easier time and they're getting done faster with this targeted approach. And once they get those binders on board, then we can go, okay, phase 2 pathway. And I love to look at the genetics and go, oh gosh, there's a lot of genetic variants in glucuronidation. Let's support there. And somebody might want to do a little support there lifelong if they've got a lot of variants in these certain places.
Thank you. I love that. I love that it can be so specific now, thanks to the research that you've all done. Because we, in this kind of medicine, there's not enough research. And it's been a lot by clinical trial.
Right.
An error. And so the more and more research we have, the easier our job is to help the patient to heal faster, the easier it is on the patient. That's the most important thing. And also we're now able to teach other doctors about this hidden information. You're bringing it to the surface. So I just love it. I love that.
I do too. And especially that order as well. I see a lot of people come in where it's just not understood widespread enough that we need to open up these pathways in a really logical order by making sure constipation's addressed and then and calming the mast cells so that they can handle the load of pulling the toxins out of the tissue.
Exactly.
Calming the nervous system. Then we can do the binders and then support the liver and then bring in those antimicrobials. But a lot of times I have people come in and they're trying antifungals and they still have constipation and they don't have any binders on board yet. And That's really backfiring for people.
It really is. Or people are on binders and they're constipated. They're just not ready for detox. I like to give my patients a pre-tox even, which is just support the organs of elimination. Treat their mast cells first. Work on the nervous system. A lot of patients have cranial cervical instability, varying degrees of it, and to work on that even before treating with mast cell modulators, and then detox. Finally start and kill off infections while I've got all the other stuff on board. It sounds like we really take the same steps forward in treating patients. And I've had a lot of people come into the clinic and they've been on antibiotics for years and none of the other stuff has been addressed. And they just keep going with the antibiotics, even though it's not working. They say that they feel like zombies or they feel like shells of themselves with this way of treatment, but then they keep pressing on because what else are they to do? But you and I have the same message. It's clear that there's so much more to do before and during the time of killing off the infections. And so there's so much that we have to undo in these patients that come to us this way and support them in every system.
Absolutely. I have another, I love visuals. And so I have another visual I like to use where I have this house that's under construction. So you can see that the foundation's been poured and then there are all of the wood framing is up, right? But that's it. There's no real walls or anything.
Right.
And then I have on there these windows with shutters and I have lime and I have SIBO and then the mast cell activation. And if we have mold toxicity and we think that we're going to get rid of this stuff that's upstream of it, it's like trying to put the shutters and the windows on the house where you don't even have the walls built out yet. And it might hold up for a day or two, but then the mold toxins are just this wrecking ball. So this wrecking ball that just comes through and knocks the windows down, and that's the mold again. Yeah. And this sort of operations. I love you talking about the cervical cranial instability as well. So that was a big part of why I was so ill, was the head injury. And I was kicked in the head by a horse. And so I had a Chiari malformation and cerebral spinal fluid buildup on my head. I've gotten cranial sacral therapy for years. We actually just found the Chiari malformation for me this year. And so, there's all these pieces that we've got to be thinking such big picture. And then thinking also what's happening spiritually and emotionally and then structurally. So I can't tell you how excited I get when I get to talk to someone like you about that people are taking this big picture look because it literally changes the face of not just healthcare, but people's lives.
It sure does. Thank you so much, Beth. I just so enjoyed our interview and bouncing our ideas between each other and seeing them mirrored. We don't see that happening so often. So it's just such a treasure to meet you and have this interview.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to talk about. And I just want to share that we have tons of free resources. People need help. And I know that you guys have an incredible clinic and we've got a blog and we've got courses where people can step themselves through how to work on the nervous system and start the mast cell supplements and the mold detox. And thank you so much for getting this information out there. If I had had this even 10 years ago, it would have changed my life. And I know it's going to change a lot of people's lives.
It will. Beth, tell them what your website is. I love your website. It is full of information and fantastic information. So tell them the website so that they can.
Oh, thank you so much. It's Mast Cell 360. So M as in Mary, A-S-T as in Tom, C-E-L-O 360.com. And then we also have free Facebook Lives most Mondays and people can jump on there and ask questions too. So we try to provide a lot of community support. So again, I don't want people to have to go through this alone like I have. Right.
Thank you again. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, Nafisa. It's so good to be with you.
You too.